We ask you this question. Are you on board right now with the Birds?
I feel better, Jason, after you just said that about Joel. I feel better. Like, this is like new age, next level. We're going to be extra cautious with Joel's stuff. He's seen this new age stuff in the training room.
Like, I don't feel better.
So what do you not feel better?
I understand.
I don't feel better just because I think it's a bad sign that he couldn't play game one, and I believe that it is unlikely that he will ever be healthy for 2 months in the postseason. I just don't think it's likely. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible. If I was a betting man, if I had to bet my house, which I don't, am I ever going to own a house?
I hope so, buddy.
But I got one person earlier today asking me if I'm going to get married. Now, am I ever going to own a house?
Why don't you own a house?
Maybe because I'm not married.
You don't need to be married to own a house.
Let's go. No, I don't. But I mean, come on. My apartment, come on.
I didn't own a house till I was married. Yeah,
I think it helps,
And what helps you if you have NFL money, all right, buddy? Settle down over there. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Salvador in Kurtzville. Boy, he walked into that. What's up, Salvador?
Yeah, dude. shout out to you, man. Weren't you complaining about, who were you complaining about, and you left a dump in somebody's toilet?
That's Fred Barnett.
Yeah, he destroyed Fred's toilet.
But I didn't do that.
And blamed it on a 6-year-old girl.
Because it was her, it wasn't me. It's true. Truth is truth.
You're talking about a napkin in the trash can, dude. You left that in somebody's toilet, man. But, hey, Jason, I run into your father-in-law all the time, man. He's your biggest fan, man. He's so proud of you, dude. I just wanted to let you know that.
You said Big Ed? You run into Big Ed?
Yeah, he's an electrician at my job.
You see him over at the Acme?
Yeah, baby.
That's great. How big is he?
He's huge, man. He can play on the line.
How big?
He can play on the line.
6'10".
I want to say he's like 6'10".
He's 6'10"?
Are you serious?
What?
6'10" or 6'9".
What? What?
Wow.
That's I can't believe we never knew that.
That's definitely big.
Wow. Yeah, no, hailing from Kensington, Philadelphia.
How much does he weigh, Jason?
You know what? I don't know how much Big Ed weighs.
Is that like 375 pounds if you're 6'10"?
No one you call him Big Ed. That makes a lot of sense now.
I don't think he's that big. I mean, I've seen pictures of him back in the day. He was a beanpole in high school, but now he's got some girth to him. But
wow.
I don't think he's 375. He's probably close. He's probably similar to me,
I bet. That's wild. All right, Salvador, give me what you got on the Eagles.
I will. I wanted to give you my funniest moment. My funniest moment on y'all show was when you read your ridiculous diet list.
Yeah.
And you're like, I don't even, what was you eating for breakfast? You're eating like chocolate cake and stuff. Like, dude.
He's eating donuts at 1:30 in the morning.
Clam chowder at like 2 a.m. Yeah, it was bad.
But yeah, on the Birds, man, you know, I'm just hoping that we can get some entertaining football. You know, that's really all I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. All right, Sabra, give me a number in a phrase.
All right. So when you go to use somebody's bathroom, what do they ask you? Number one or number two?
Okay. It's not bad. That's especially for probably young kids, because you don't talk in those terms more as an adult. But
do you have number three?
I have it frequently.
No, but I'm saying, does everyone have number three? Like, is that a real thing? Because I count number three. Like, I think you count number three.
Well, number three is my number one. It's my go-to.
That's messed up. It's supposed to be like
but
that.
Jason,
do you know what we're talking about, Jason?
I have no idea what we're talking about.
I'm only number guessing.
One. You know number one.
I know number one and number two. Yeah.
But you don't know what number three is?
I'm trying to wrap my head around
it. I am too, Jason. Think of a blend.
Maybe with some force, you know, some exit velocity.
Explosive blend.
All right, I'm picking up on it now.
Explosive blend. How could you not at this point?
Jason,
number three happens a lot after like a pre-workout drink.
Absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
Or if you're taking a lot of creatine.
Yeah, exactly. I gotcha.
Except for Joe, it happens far more frequently than that.
Happens just about every day.
What was the stuff that they would bring around before the games that was like potassium, like the potassium juice that they would come around and get? Maybe they stopped giving
it. That might have ended.
Yeah.
All right, by the way, at 8:30 today, or excuse me,
the toilets at the
at 9:15 today, Life Advice with the Hammer. Get the scenarios in, Facebook, Twitter, and the text line. Three ways you can interact with the show. What do you need help with? I'll spend you some good advice coming up at 9:15. To which Life Advice with Jason Kelce right now.
Oh, okay.
From Joe to camera.
Here we go.
It's gonna impromptu.
It's going to be a question based on what we were just talking about, and then a comment.
The number three thing?
The question. Jason Kelce, are you, as you should be, a bidet man?
Am I a bidet man?
Do you use a bidet?
I I disagree with the leading question.
Yeah,
as
you should be.
As you should be.
I mean, it's fine.
Strike that.
I'm going to answer it. I don't care about the leading, but I will admit I have never, to my knowledge, tried a bidet.
It is so legitimate.
To my knowledge, is a great
addition. I've had opportunities, but mentally, I just haven't been able to go there.
Mm-hmm.
I have heard tons of unbelievable reviews, and if we're being honest, there's no question it gets a cleaner, right?
Like without a doubt,
the
yes.
paper, we're just smearing smaller and smaller amounts.
That's caveman. Guys, the paper is a caveman. That's the move of the caveman.
Right. You're right.
The caveman would grab a leaf. Yeah. All right? We're now in the year 20. All I'm saying, Jason, is trust
Yeah, but are we getting too advanced? All right, so,
trust me.
I will say, there's like, I sit on these toilets now and they're like heated and there's like all these electronics and it like weirds
me out. I don't want all
it's
that.
Too much.
Like you don't,
I can't do it. Like whenever I sit on a hot toilet
seat,
I feel really uncomfortable.
Oh.
Like, it's like not, I like that coldness when it touches my rear end.
You want the heat, don't you?
The heat's not the main thing for me. I will just say this, Jason.
But you like it.
I do not dislike it. I would.
He's a man of comfort.
I would guarantee you.
Yeah.
That if you went bidet, you wouldn't go back.
I will say, you can't say that about him. You cannot say that about him.
I've been in Malaysia, and I had to, me and Connor borrowed a scooter and across the city that we were in, and you stop at a gas station, I got to use the bathroom, and all it is just a hole in the ground.
Well,
and they give you a hose.
What?
So I kind of did use a bidet.
Wow.
But that was what you
had an
option for, so...
Joe said something that I just wanted to retouch on.
Uh-oh, this sounds bad.
The number three thing, you said that is your regular, that is your
this could be
number one, that is your...
Every day?
Every day.
Yeah, I'd say it's essentially every day, just about. Yeah.
You know that that's not normal at all.
That's why I've seen
I think
many
that
doctors.
There, in some ways, if you eat the right things, you don't even have to worry about bidet or paper or any of that stuff.
If you are constantly, let's be honest, if you're constantly having number threes and you're constantly wiping like that, there's going to be some irritation down
well,
there.
Well, that's another thing.
Probably makes a
that's
ton
another
of
thing
sense.
We haven't even touched on. He's unaware that you're destroying.
Well.
That part of yourself.
Jason, is this what you expected to talk about this morning?
This is what I prefer to talk about.
All right, let's listen to Vaughn in Maryland.
It's a whole new level of load management.
It is. That's true. That's true. All right.
Bang.
Well done.
All right. Vaughn in Maryland. So, 8-year anniversary today of our program going back to the midday show. And thanks to everyone who's listened through the years, including right now. We do truly appreciate it. So one of the things we're asking you today is favorite moment in the 8 years that we've been doing this show since the midday show. James, we got a call earlier saying the phone call from Vaughn in Maryland after the Eagles won the Super Bowl, and I totally agree. This is probably in my top five.
It's definitely in my top five.
And Jason, you've probably never heard this, although maybe you did as a listener back then.
Little context.
Yep.
He was calling all season long. Throughout the season, this guy kept calling the Times Yours line and talking about how we were going to win the Super Bowl, how much he believed in the team. He would get emotional all season long.
I said, Jason, when you guys win the Super Bowl, the next day we do a show, and it was the most amazing show, obviously, and at the end, with Time's Yours, we got this call.
It's Vaughn from Maryland, man. It's Vaughn from Maryland. I've been calling y'all all year long. And I kept saying we're going to the Super Bowl. And I kept saying we're going to the Super Bowl. We won the Super Bowl. We the one to freak the Super Bowl. We won, man. We are the world champions. We the world champions, man. I can't stop crying, man. I'm serious. That's why I was walking off. I'm crying, man. Hey.
E-A-G-L-E-S. Love it, man. Just love it. I remember crying when he was crying. I remember hearing that day. It was just, it was powerful. Jason, you had, I mean, you, Nick Foles, the whole squad.
Of course.
How's everyone doing?
I mean, the impact. It's just, Can you just describe what it's like when people come up to you and thank you for that moment?
I still get it. I mean, I was up in Fishtown yesterday, and people were like, thanks for 2017. I'm like, yeah. I guess it's just going to happen for the rest of my life. We're removed from that, but I think it's, you know, and somebody told me that year when we were going to it, and it's like, man, not only do you have a chance to win it, but you have to a chance to be the first.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, everybody – every Philadelphia Eagle fan that was around for that is going to remember that forever. And obviously all of us on the team. And I think it really didn't fully hit how unbelievably, you know, not fulfilling, but like.
Meaningful?
Yeah. I mean,
big?
It's meaningful, but it's like.
I was thinking big too.
Yeah. I mean, it's how just impactful it was to the city and to the fans. Really until the parade. I mean, you always know it's a big deal. And I came from Cleveland, so we never had a Super Bowl. We always wanted to win one. But, man, the parade was really on full display. And leading up to it, how much it really impacted the city and how much, you know, fans had been waiting for this for generations, you know. I say this story a lot. You know, there's people with ashes out on the on the parade route, right? So the relative actually was at the parade because they talked about wanting to be there. I think, you know, this is an old team that has a lot of history in a city that is the birthplace of this country.
That's right.
And all of this had been leading up to that moment. So I think the collective outpouring of emotions was so unifying, and like everybody felt that it just really was an awesome time to be a Philadelphian, and I think it's something that all of us will be able to share for the rest of our lives.
Love it. Beautiful.
Can I real quick just say something? Hey, Jason.
Yes.
Thank you for 2017.
there you go. All right. Good morning to you on a Thursday morning. Got an Eagles Bengals game coming up on Sunday. Let's hope they don't lose the way the Eagles lost to the Bengals in '94, which is still the most astounding loss in my lifetime with the Eagles. And I'm not making it up. Seltzer, what happened at the end of 94?
94?
I've talked about this before. It was the last game of the season and the last game Rich Coates head coach. What happened?
I don't remember.
Rhea?
The last game. Was it at home?
Bobby.
It was on the
road. Bobby Hoing was at Ohio State at this point.
That was at, oh yeah, right. Last game.
was it the Jets?
To do with it, but I like that.
All right, no. This is, Jason, you know a lot about pro football. I mean, I would say you're above average on pro football knowledge, but you probably don't know this one.
Yeah.
This will sound impossible, but I didn't watch it because
I'm sure Jason feels better now that he knows you evaluate his knowledge of the NFL.
I don't know if I even watched
it. I bet Joe's probably better at me with the history of the game.
I smell a beat there.
Don't say that kind of stuff, Jason. He doesn't need more of this, all right?
We want to go into X's and O's and schematics.
Yeah, hammer! Pull it for drop of the week. All right, here's what happened.
It will not. Absolutely not be played in trouble.
But I'd say we could do a 2017 Eagles.
Beat the Hammer, you versus Jason?
Beat the Hammer trivia, me versus Jason.
Wow.
No, but I like the idea of the schematic Beat the Hammer also. Like what he's talking about, the X's and O's.
Yeah, I don't like that one. Yeah. All right, so Jason, this will sound impossible, but it happened. Final game in 94. The Eagles give up. They have a 3-point lead with 5 seconds left.
All right.
The Cincinnati Bengals kick 2 field goals in the final 5 seconds to win the game.
Kick 2 field goals?
Kick 2 field goals.
Yeah, that seems like...
So they kicked the first
one
in 5 seconds?
Did they manipulate
time? Kicked a field goal. I think there's 2 seconds left.
They get an onside kick?
No. Kickoff that no one fields. It goes like down the field. It's like a pop-up. It just bounces.
Yeah, so they used to do that. I think I remember the Browns. Phil Dawson did one where it's almost like you're kicking it in between when returners in the front line is.
Okay. Bengals fell on it. 1 second went off the clock. 1 second was
light.
No, 1 second was left.
But the clock doesn't start ticking until it's touched.
Until touched.
It was a 1 second play.
No, that's possible.
There was 1 second left.
Amazing.
No one remembers it, but it happened. By the way,
that is the worst. I was thinking like Tommy Hutton. I was trying to get other the worst. That's the worst.
Tommy Hutton one was the worst.
Oh, dude, that was. Anyway.
So I was trying to think what was my worst. Tommy Hutton might be my worst.
No, I was saying against the Bengals. I got you. Yeah, but Hutton was worse, clearly. Hey, Jason is always brought to us by Garage Beer. And let me tell you this, Garage always open with Garage Beer. Light beer like it used to be and like it should be. Beer-flavored beer. That's right, beer-flavored beer. Make sure to come out to Garage's, Kelsey Costume Contest. tonight. Chickies and Pete's, 7 o'clock, Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia. It's Garage's Kelsey Costume Contest. Come hang with Ross Tucker, Trey Thomas, and win some door prizes. So.
That's right. If you're not tired of seeing my face already, you can now see other people.
That's classic. Really is. By the way, James.
Now that'll be in Drop of the Week.
There you go. I like that. James, I have a question for you and for everyone, because I'm trying to figure something out. I was in a discussion with people yesterday, and I need help with this. So when you think to the Sixers team in the 2001 season, would you refer to them more as the... Because Life Advice with the Hammer coming up at 9:15. I need some advice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think of them as the 01 Sixers or the 2001 Sixers? Rhea, what's... Is it 01?
Hold on. Why are you even asking this question?
I'm asking the question. Because I need help.
Is that to do with your book, maybe?
Settle down.
I consider them the 2001 Sixers. So funny. I was going to say I call them the 01 Sixers, without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay, so Rhea, you say which one?
2001 Sixers.
And James, you think it's 01?
I think it's the 01 Sixers.
I will neither confirm nor deny if it is related to the book that I'm writing.
What did you think? What's your angle
here? I am very torn. I lean 01. Like, I know it's the 93 Phils.
Well, then don't worry.
I know it's the 2017 Eagles.
You
don't say the 17 Eagles.
Torn.
17 Eagles seems weird.
Yeah, you don't say that there. You know, there's ways you go about this. I don't know which one
I would say that they're both usable.
But I want to nail whatever's most said, and I don't know which that is.
I think of the 2000s to 2009. Well, 2001 to 2009, I always think of those eras as 01, 09.
Sure, I do too.
04 Eagles.
I was
We say the 04 Eagles. That's exactly right.
Yeah, 04 Eagles. But we don't say the 08 Phils. We say the 2008 Phils.
Yeah, a little more. Yeah. Baseball is only played in 1 year, which is part of
that. Anyway, just kind of a weird thing. Let's get a lot of calls in here. Derek and Paoli. Jason with us in studio. Good morning, Derek.
Hi, good morning.
What's up, Derek?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, Jason Kelsey.
Yo.
I just want to ask you a question because I ordered your hoagie at Wawa.
Oh, Kelsey gosh. Hoagie. Yeah, what'd you think?
Do you really get that much mayo on it?
I love mayo. I'm like...
Wait, who doesn't love mayo?
Sometimes I get a sandwich with my mayo.
Oh, okay.
But it's got to be good mayo. The mayo matters a lot.
Yeah, also the amount of mayo. I like mayo too, but I just wasn't sure. That's all. I don't know if they did it by accident or not.
I didn't know you had mayo.
I don't know how much mayo your sandwich in particular did have.
You know they don't have Hellman's mayo in California?
Why?
I don't know why. They don't have it. It's called Best Foods mayo. I think it's the same, but I'm not even sure. It looks kind of similar. It tastes like Hellman's, but it's called Best Foods, and I can't find Hellman's for the life of me. Wow. It's just not in existence.
All right, Derek, what do you got on our sports team?
So on the Eagles, right, I just feel like with the Eagles, I got to be on board because I think injuries definitely play a part. Like, we got two losses, and both of them are without A.J. Brown.
Yep.
And the one loss, it could have easily been a win.
Yeah, if Saquon catches it.
Injuries definitely matter. I just feel like, you know, once we get everybody back rolling, we're going to see what Kellen Moore and everybody else could do with this offense. You know what I mean?
I hope so, but like, I really do. I hope Jalen. But, Derek, I'll tell you this, man. I mean, you guys know I keep it pretty simple when I think it's warranted. Jalen just has to play better. He just has to.
He does. He does. Anybody that says he doesn't is not being real with themselves. But I do think you be a little bit too hard on him. It's like you want results right away. And you got a Hall of Famer in the studio. He'll tell you the same thing. I'm not a Hall of Famer, but I know stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everything takes time.
No, that's an interesting analogy because Jason did struggle in 2016. Yes, you know,
for sure.
And you rebounded.
Right,
yeah, that's
time.
Derek. A good point. The rare good point from you, Derek. Yeah.
Listen, that's what I listen. I call to give some wisdom, man. I call to give y'all some wisdom.
I like it, Derek. Give me a great answer. A number in a phrase.
Hold on. So my favorite moment on the show, it was pretty recent, was when y'all was trying to get Devin to do that Eagles chant, man.
Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. I need quiet. Here we go. Yeah, that is.
Wow.
Dude, it wasn't great.
Like, start, she blew a head gasket on that one, bro. I ain't going to hold you.
That was it. She just stopped after it. She did the end. She was like, oh, no.
It was so bad. All right, Derek, give me an answer, a number, and a phrase.
I'm gonna go what you probably on because you're in love and John's in love too. You on cloud nine.
That's cloud nine's a good one. Yeah. Derek, great call as always, man. Cloud nine's a good answer.
Yeah. You're right. In love.
Huh?
Are you in love?
Oh, is that what he said?
He said you're both in love.
Sure. Yeah, of course.
Wow. I'm in love,
look
too.
At that.
What a beautiful thing.
Be a problem if I wasn't.
Jason's in love. Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. We're all in love here. Yeah. James,
my God,
James,
what are we doing?
How many
the only
times
female
have you,
here is not going, I'm love.
How many times have I what?
How many times, James, have you been in love?
Like true love? Just
well,
my
wife. I don't know.
Twice, I guess. But like, once I met my wife, it was a different kind of love
Fair
than
enough.
My first love.
Jason, what's your...
Wow.
I'm in the same boat as... I don't know if I was like in the He-Man Woman Haters Club, but I didn't even start like really talking to females and understanding how to talk to them until like college. So I would say I would say Kylie's probably the only one that I've really like loved in this way for sure.
That's great.
I think other ones might have been like infatuation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Loved her for a few months. Oh, I think it's really what it is, right? Yeah.
I'm well aware of that. I've had the heart torn through many times with that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a tough one. All right.
I'm pretty sure I didn't learn to speak to women properly until...
This week? Last 50, week?
50-ish. Yeah, it's taken me quite
kind
some
of
like time.
Give some pushback that I still probably don't know how to do.
That's
that.
Great.
That's great.
Yeah. All right, so the division, it's obviously wide open. The Eagles are still a very slight favorite to win it. But obviously, Washington has the best record. I think at 5-2.
5-2, correct.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. All right. So I asked
They're
Jaws.
Good.
Yeah, they've looked good this year. Now they got an injury at their quarterback. And I asked Jaws earlier this week about the division. His answer surprised me, but maybe it shouldn't. I don't know. Let's listen to Jaws when we were talking about the division earlier this week. Looks like this season may be coming into focus as an Eagles Washington division. Is Washington legitimate?
They're better. I don't think they're. I'll be honest with you guys. Quote honest, Dallas still bothers me. You know, they're and they always bother me. they concern me right now. Although you know they're playing poor football. You know, they've got a lot of guys that picked on the defensive side that are injured. They're going to get a lot of people back. It's going to. I think despite the Commanders playing good football right now, I don't think they're at the next level yet. They're going to get there. The quarterback is phenomenal. Their offense has been very good. Their defense is suspect. They lost Allen, their defensive tackle, so that's going to hurt them. But I think when all is said and done, when you look at the rosters of both teams, I still think it's going to be Philadelphia and Dallas.
Jason, is he right? Is it more of an Eagles-Dallas thing than an Eagles-Washington thing?
I think that all three of those teams are in contention still. I think Jaws is right. If you look at the rosters, I think that the two best teams are Dallas and Philadelphia. I think that... the coaches in Washington have done a phenomenal job. Their quarterback is probably playing the best right now, even though he is injured out of the division. That young kid has really been very good. Cliff Kingsbury is doing a fantastic job. They have a really good running back trio and running game, which allows them, which is, I think, like everybody focuses on the quarterback. Their running game has been very good. Brian Robinson has been very good for Washington. I think, but I think that they're banged up. They just lost Jonathan Allen on the defensive side. I don't know that, you know, I think the head coach is very good as a defensive mind, but I think that ultimately Dallas and the Eagles have better players. So, you know, I think that that's kind of where it's at.
I guess.
I don't know that better players always equals who's winning the division.
Of course.
Right? It doesn't.
Yeah.
So I think that right now Washington is probably playing the best of the division. They've been playing worse teams, but they are beating the brakes off of them.
Yeah.
Right?
And they got like, a
they
little
they beat hurts. Carolina with their backup quarterback, Marcus Mariota, who was here, right? And I think that by 40-7, it doesn't matter who you're playing in the NFL, putting up 40 points.
Sure.
Do you stay in touch with Zach Ertz at all?
Yeah. Yeah.
How does he feel about being a commander?
In that uniform.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Like what I can. So I think Zach, first of all, he feels really good about the team. He's obviously a huge Cliff guy. He was with them in Arizona. He's like really likes Cliff as a coach. I know that he liked Jaden Daniels from the offseason. He's like, man, this kid has a chance to be really special.
Wow.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of positive in things that I think, you know, lead you to think that Washington is going to be really good in the future. I just think there's some pieces away, and I think that when they play mediocre to bad teams, especially teams that the trenches aren't really there against them, they're going to look really good. I think that they're going to struggle against really good teams. But we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, couple final things. Final minutes here with Jason in studio with us for an hour each Thursday. Jason, I think we might wrap on a weekly basis or incorporate on a weekly basis. Just a couple quick rapid fires.
Sure.
Now, this first one, I shouldn't say rapid fire because it's probably not an easy one to answer quickly.
But we're already going back on the rapid fire thing.
I'm
going
to ask it fast. We'll see how long. Okay. What's the theory? What theory do you have of why the Eagles are struggling in the first quarter offensively? Like what? Because we're all trying to figure out the why. Why is it?
I think that, man, these are rapid fire.
Okay, yeah, so
bad one to start with.
I think that it's probably multiple factors. I think that a big reason why we've struggled in the past sometimes with Jalen in particular is I think teams tend to play Jalen differently and they tend to do things that are not what you're expecting going into the game. And typically the first quarter plays, the first two series, three series of plays that you're designing are based upon what you're expecting or what they have been doing on defense on tape. I think that this past week you saw them utilize tempo a little bit. I know that didn't work out in the first quarter again, but I think that again, maybe going to like some of these tempo things can help them out in the first quarter. Maybe going to like more of your generic plays of like, we like this versus this. You know, I would love, I think like every Eagles fan watching the game to see some of these like unbelievably designed runs and designed, like even, you know, these quick screens and passes that work, like that are clearly, there's motions and all of this creativity behind it. But for whatever reason, those things haven't been working for them. And
how important is it for us to get out there and score right away in this game, like against the Bengals? How important is it first quarter points on the board?
Well, I think it's important. I will say I usually think it's really important to get off to a good start against teams that run the ball really well, which isn't necessarily the Bengals' strength. I think with the Bengals, they're so high-powered as a passing offense. You want to get off to a good start because they have the ability to put up good points. But at any point in the game, they're going to have the ability to turn a quarter into like a three-score quarter. So I think it's always important to get out to a fast start. This game, it's a better team, so it's important to get out to a fast start. I think it's important to get out to a fast start for no other reason than just these guys get out of their own heads with the fast start.
Yeah.
Like, because then I've been a part of this where, like, now all of a sudden you start thinking about it, and it's like, man, we got to get out to a fast start. Hey, we got to get, and then it gets in your head. So
you get tense. Yeah.
Like a self fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. Correct.
It's like, gosh, we just went 3-and-out again.
Yeah.
Now we're going to be terrible for the rest of this quarter again.
WIP is going to come down on
that's
you.
That's right. I can hear Joe DeCamera right now.
Correct. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep it real. All right. Three final questions, Jason. Next two are yes, no's.
All right.
Did you fall asleep at the Taylor Swift concert?
No.
Okay. So you were just resting your eyes?
My hand is hovering. I was when you close your eyes.
It's vibing,
when
man.
You close your eyes, you can listen to music better. Yeah. That's just the reality of it. So I was in the
moment. It heightens your other senses when you close your eyes.
Have you ever seen Stevie Wonder? That's what I was doing.
There you go. There you go. There you go. All right. An issue from a couple weeks ago I saw it come up, NFL Players Association spoke out about. They say moving forward, members of the media should not be in the locker room.
Yeah.
Players are dressing. The game has just ended. Players should not have to like literally be exposed in front of media members. Yes or no, media members in the locker room, naked men?
Well, again, a leading question.
But that's what it's about.
It's not about that.
Well, it's also about intrusion of space and all that.
So first of all, I am in favor of reporters being in the locker room. I think that you can get better sound bites and access to players in more meaningful ways than going up in front of a podium on a press conference. And I think that there's not really another way to facilitate that than have them in the locker room. And I think it's important that reporters and media people have that access. They already have a grace period where players know how much time before the media members go in there. It's not right after the game. You have time, if you want to avoid that, to get unclothed and into the shower and dressed. I never was like that. But the reporters would come up to me and I'd be, hey guys, I'm still getting undressed. And they're very respectful. So this idea that there's like a butt-naked dude just walking down the middle of the locker room, Like
sometimes there are.
Brian Braman.
I would do that before the reporters out there, just to make guys uncomfortable. That because that's kind of my sense of humor. Like I'd be walking down there with my jock strap on to the middle of the oranges, and guys are like, "What the heck is Kels doing?"
Yeah.
But the reality is,
ooh, with an orange in your mouth and the jock strap,
just jock strap,
only jock. Yeah. Wow, yeah. That's a good look.
Yeah, right? Hammer. Yeah. So I think. I don't buy
it. What? Are you implying you do that too? What was that?
That has no.
Yeah, that was an out of context or maybe in context.
I think I know where you're going with
it. I do too now. Jeez Louise.
So I don't think that this is the invasion of privacy that it's being made out to be. I think a lot of players have a problem with it because they don't want to be bothered by answering questions from reporters is the reality of it. I think the teams are going to be in favor of it because I think the teams don't like that the reporters have this access because a lot of unnamed sources, a lot of sound bites that they don't have time to prepare guys for come out in these types of atmospheres.
Yeah.
But I think I just don't believe that in a sport of like football guys that all of these guys now are so insecure that they can't have people in the locker room. And it's like, dude, and I said this on the podcast, if you don't want to show all the goods, it's very easy. Like, just don't do that. Like, there's a whole bathroom over there and a shower that you can remain clothed, and there's a bin there for those clothes.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's what it's being made out to be, and I don't think it's...
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Modesty was never an issue before.
Yeah, right?
Final question here, Jason. So 8-year anniversary today of our program going back to the Midday Show.
Okay.
October 2016, we started. I know you listened, at some point you started listening to us.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite moment through the years?
Oh, my God.
Now, it can be kicking Seltzer's ass in a beer chugging contest.
I mean, that's one of my favorites, too.
That's up there.
We need to get a rematch, massive. Though. That was not a fair bout. That was the largest beer I've ever chugged.
Me, too.
I think, man. So, favorite from this show specifically?
Yeah, the 6 years in the midday, the 2 years in the morning.
You know what?
It's not an easy question.
It's not.
It's not. I would say I've been a big follower of the Midday Show, and a lot of the I think you guys have always had really good chemistry and a sense of humor that I align with. So I guess I think my favorite part is probably when Angelo's like kind of calling it quits and you guys were announced as going to be the replacement for that show.
Wow.
I know there's a lot of like, who knew what was going to happen. I think that was, it's like, oh, okay, these guys are moving up to the 6 to 10 slot.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that is really nice.
That was probably
cool.
Like, they've been hard at work at this for a long time. So I think I was happy for you guys as a listener to this specific group.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll thanks, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's very kind.
That was awesome.
He might have just won drop. He might have just won drop.
That's really great. Yeah.
My mom will be tearing up back home listening to that. That's nice. Jason, stay well, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you.
There he is, Jason Kelce, as he is every single Thursday. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Dr. Gina right now. Good morning, Gina.
Hey, good morning. I've been laughing all morning from you guys. I tuned in when the potty part, with the bidet part and the caveman. Well, it's funny because I was introduced to bidets. I had a boyfriend from Italy when I was like 15, and his mom installed bidet in the house. And
no way.
Like, yes.
That's very cultured. So, wow.
Yes.
Straight from Italy. The bidet from Italy, even.
Yes. Absolutely. Ooh. And so, and then when I, talking about the squatters thing, when I went to Italy, got introduced to the squatters when I went to a building that was super, super old. And then in China, I've been to China and you could be in the fanciest department store, mm-hmm. 7-8 floors department store, and the bathrooms are still, Joe
holes
would
in
never
the floor.
Survive. Well, holes in the floor, and where there is a toilet, there's no seat. Joe would never survive a trip to China
How could you even do that, Joe?
I'm telling you what. And they all have incense burning outside of it because you don't flush the toilet paper, which is totally outrageous. You have to put it in a basket.
Yeah,
I was in a
home like that one time in New York, and it was not good.
What?
Not good.
Flush the toilet
it's
paper?
It's a cultural thing for some people.
No, it's not cultural. It's their sewer systems. You're in ancient...
Well, maybe, but I can tell you this. Where it was in New York, it wasn't a sewer system issue. This family maybe came from a culture like that.
Wow.
and brought it here. And so their thing
was... So they just used like a trash can?
I was told one time in my life, John, I visited a friend in college after graduating, drop it
what
in the trash can.
On?
I'm just being honest with you. I mean, it's not...
I've never heard of that. Yeah, that's, wow.
Oh, yeah. John, shocking. It scars you for life. I'll never go back to China because
of that. This conversation is scarring me for life.
All right, Gina, what do you got on the Eagles?
Oh, man. Well, you know, we're just going to have to see how things develop. That's all. Like, as I told you the other day when I talked to you, you know, it looked much better from a whole comfort and ease standpoint. John, I know you really want Jalen to work from under center, but, you know, you... At this point, and he even got brought up about how he will still be here even if the coaches are gone. Like, it's done around him and around what he feels comfortable with. And that was a bad preposition search there. Sorry. But I don't think that's ever going to change. I think they'll throw it in as gadget plays from time to time to just kind of read the defense and see what's happening and then possibly even switch it out to an RPO or, you know, but the shotgun, I think, unfortunately, I'm not a huge fan of the shotgun either. I think it so like cuts down on your capabilities and especially your trickery and your foolery.
Yeah, you're just limiting your playbook.
Truly,
all right, Gina, two questions. First, give me a number in a phrase.
This is a tough one. I'm going to say my roommate from college was from down south, and she would say this, that, and the third. And that just
Joe stole it from me.
I already said it.
You said it? Okay. Yep. So then how about there's two sides to every story?
You got
it. Actually, there's three. My favorite moment from the show so far, poor John, this is going to be at your expense, but I wish Jason was still there because I sat blubbering in a Dunkin' Donuts parking lot listening to his press conference when he retired. And then hearing you recap that moment, you know, we've used that drop many, many times since, but that's, I think that you blubbering on air, I think that was my favorite.
Great answer. That's a great, that was the next day, of course. All right, Gina, final thing. Here's the other thing I need you to answer. It may or may not be for a book I'm writing. 2001 Sixers or 01 Sixers?
01, all the way.
Okay. I mean,
Dr. Gina knows her stuff.
John, she is the only person that calls our show that called me close to 25 years ago when I started in radio.
You mean when your mom was
answering the phones?
Your producer.
Yeah, she was my mom was my producer.
Dr. Gina was calling when your mom was producing.
Yeah, about 23 years ago.
Incredible. Pretty wild.
Yeah, that's 20, really incredible. 22, 21 years ago. Yeah, for sure.
And you can say with certainty Dr. Gina is the only person that you know.
I think so.
Who has spanned that quarter
that I know
century.
Of. I didn't have many callers.
That's
I feel like someone would have said
really
it.
Cool,
like if they called again, they'd be like, oh, Joe, remember I used to call you. So I think it's probably just Gina.
I mean, there'd be shows you do two straight hours and not have a call just because it is what it is.
So what made Dr. Gina
I've done those shows.
Like you in the first place?
You got to ask her, man.
I didn't know this about her. Now I would love to ask her. I didn't know.
She enjoys different things, weird people.
There you go. All right. Twitter poll questions of the day. They're both brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors and, of course, remember those that have passed away. We all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. Two poll questions today. The first, who would you prefer to see win the World Series, the Dodgers or the Yankees? I do think I'm leaning Yankees. I know that's probably not going to be the leading vote getter here, but we'll see. Dodgers, Yankees. Who do you prefer? Second, how many games do you think Joel plays this year? Regular season. We've broken it down into four groupings. A is 60 or more. B is 50 to 59. C is 41 to 49. And D is 40 or less. I don't know what's going to win that poll. We'll find out next hour.
Oh,
you can vote at Sports Radio WFP.
You don't think there's going to be a recency bias with that one? I definitely feel disheartened after yesterday. And so I do feel like it would impact the way I vote.
No, I mean, I think people should be able to see through that, but we'll see. We'll find
out. Come on, man.
It's not going to be 60 or more.
But he's just not going to play for the first three games at least.
But, John, here's why I feel confident. It's at least below 60. I mean, at least. Because if he doesn't play back-to-backs, that's 15. They have 15 of them this year. He's not playing the first three games. That's 18 games. You go from 82 to 64 before anything else has happened.
Yeah, before he, you know, has a hang now.
He's already at 64.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Joe, with all this.
Imagine when he gets hurt.
You know how upset I've been about the Olympics thing.
Yes.
I just think it was ridiculous.
I know. Yep.
The All-Star Game.
Mm-hmm.
You going to play in that?
Well, I mean, simple thing is I don't know.
Has he ever not played in it?
Not that I remember.
And why would he not? And he's played in at times when he's had issues right before it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I like to think there's something good about being in that setting and hopefully maybe being a recruiter for future years. I don't push that aside. Not that that's the only way you can. They don't play with great effort. And he generally probably plays 20 minutes. So I'd say I'm okay with it, but I understand why you wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
everything else is prioritized except for the Sixers season. That's what bothers
me. Rhea, someone said to me yesterday, it might have even been Wechter, someone said to me, if he's only going to play half the games, just play him in the home games.
Yeah. Take care of your own fans.
So it's a theory.
But that's where
don't even have him travel.
Yeah, no travel. The travel might hurt him.
He won't swell up on an airplane.
Just hang out around here. It's easy.
Don't let him go out for Halloween. He might get scared.
All right. So we say all that to get to some audio of Doc Rivers, which I got to tell you was kind of funny in a certain way, and I actually think Doc Rivers kind of made some sense in a certain way. He's talking about Joel. Obviously, you know, he's not the coach anymore here, but he was asked about Joel last night, and I found his answer a little humorous and kind of wise.
He told ESPN that he probably won't play back-to-backs.
Yeah, me either. That's pretty sweet.
There's been some reaction from former players, Charles Barkley, Shaq, KG, Paul Pierce, about that and how they're not in favor of it. What's your take on that?
I don't care one way or the other. You know, obviously I'm not coaching here, so it's not a concern for me. But whatever works for Joel is what you have to do. And if you know, you can't worry about the noise. If that's going to work and that makes him healthy for the playoffs, I don't think there's a person that wouldn't sign on for that. You know, if it works or not, I can't give you the answer for that. It's different than the way we play. We didn't know any better. You know, we had a trainer that was our equipment manager and our travel secretary, you know, and we ate hot dogs and chips before games, you know, so we didn't have any of the science behind us and we didn't know any better.
I mean, on a lot of levels, it's funny. I do think it's wise because he's saying, like, try to figure out what works best. Not that we know that this will work best, but they are trying to figure out what works best. I don't know. We'll see. But the answer at the beginning was classic when he was like,
"What an incredible
pretty sweet.
What an incredible point.
No back-to-backs. That's pretty sweet."
No, he talked. I know. It's funny.
Coming from him,
he says
who
we
liked
didn't
the
know
golf
any
here,
better.
That was great.
He says we didn't know any better. We ate hot dogs and chips before games. Well, so does Joel now. Joel's eating all the burgers and going to Chick-fil-A and all those hot dogs
know.
And chips.
I know. Yeah.
We know that he can't keep his weight under control. We know last night we were told part of the problem is weight, that his weight isn't where it needs to be.
Look,
Come on, man.
I know.
It's the start of the season.
Yeah.
Why did that not matter enough that you had your weight where it needed to be for the first game, the opening game of the season, man?
Well, and if he doesn't play that much, they're going to lose a lot. I mean, they just are. I mean, maybe
it's just baffling.
Maybe they can be 500 without him, but they're not going to have a good record without him. I mean, they're just not. 215-592.
Your star. The guy who makes the world go round.
I know.
I guess chose with the help of medical assistance that the first week was just not on the schedule for him. Think about that. It's just not, he's not doing the first week.
Look, maybe I'm starting to talk myself into it. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Welcome aboard. Oh, Joe, please don't.
Well, I don't
I'll
like
be so into, disappointed in
talk
you.
Talk yourself into this whole thing. Like, you like it now?
I'm not saying I like it.
It's not like it. It's just like what it is. Like, accept the situation of who Joel Embiid is. Like, it is what it is.
I wish he were
Nikola Jokic. Guess what? He's not.
I can't feel good about it. I can't
feel... Well, I don't feel good about it.
Yeah,
but
it's just what it is. Like, it's his body, man.
I can't feel supportive.
But it's his body.
Of missing the first week of the season while you're uninjured.
Could Conklin next week, remember that song Was it David Lee Roth, I Ain't Got Nobody?
Yes, but that was someone else's song.
Well, and he's talking about he doesn't have a girlfriend, right? But he's also saying he doesn't have a body. Could we have a spoof of Joelle, like you don't have a workable body? Mm. I ain't got no workable body.
Ooh.
Nobody.
Probably not.
No, it's probably not.
Sing it anymore.
No, not.